Sydney.com.au. Buckle up, Sydney, and expect the unexpected.
I'm Sean Bindley. The Morrison government lost Warringah and the next Prime Minister in New South Wales, but elsewhere across the state, its numbers will likely remain relatively unchanged. Former Liberal leader Tony Abbott lost Warringah to independent Zali Steggall, suffering a swing of about 20% in the seat he's held for 24 years. Mr Abbott told Sky News last night, "At least I didn't lose the seat as PM." Another high-profile contest in Sydney remains too close to call, with independent Karen Phelps neck and neck with Liberal candidate Dave Sharma in Wentworth. Tasmania's swinging northern seats are back in Liberal hands, but for the rest of the Apple Isle, it is status quo. Labor were ousted in the state's two marginal seats, Braddon in the northwest and Bass in the north, by first-time Liberal candidates. Beef farmer Gavin Pearce won Braddon from Justine Key almost a year after she was returned to the seat in a by-election. In Bass, local Mayor Bridget Archer toppled Ross Hart. A woman has died on a Sydney street and a man is being questioned. Emergency services were called about 8:45 last night to Barker Street in Randwick on reports a woman had been injured. They found the woman unresponsive and she died at the scene. A 60-year-old man was arrested and is assisting police with their inquiries. A crime scene has been set up with Barker Street closed between Botany and Kennedy Streets. The Netherlands' Duncan Lawrence is the bookies' favourite to win Eurovision, but Australia's Kate Miller-Heidke has leapt to the top as well following her semi-final performance. Brisbane singer-songwriter Miller Heidke stunned with a spectacular stage show, wearing a full ball gown while perched atop a moving pole to deliver her song Zero Gravity. As singers made last-minute preparations for the Eurovision Song Contest in Tel Aviv, Israeli police threw a high-security cordon around the venue to head off attacks or protests by boycotters who urged fans to shun the events. The 41-country international singing competition has been a focus of pro-Palestinian calls to stay away from this year's event in protest against Israeli policies in the West Bank and Gaza. The White House is delaying a decision on whether to slap tariffs on imported cars and auto parts for 6 months. The Trump administration has warned that auto imports pose a national security threat. More from Air News' William Denslow.
In a statement Friday, the White House announced the US will continue to negotiate with the likes of the European Union and Japan over the import of vehicles and auto parts. It adds that the US's defense and military superiority depends on the competitiveness of the country's auto industry. This comes after a Commerce Department report concluded that auto manufacturing, research and development are vital to national security. The Trump administration has threatened to slap trading allies like the EU with tariffs in a bid to negotiate trade agreements. If a 180-day window ends without an agreement, the White House states that President Trump will decide on what further action is needed. William Denslow, New York.
Austria's Chancellor Sebastian Kurz has called for a snap election, pulling the plug on his coalition with the far right after its leader was caught on video discussing state contacts with a woman posing as a Russian oligarch's niece. The far right Freedom Party's Heinz Christian Strache resigned as vice chancellor and party leader after the video was released by two German news organisations. He acknowledged the video was catastrophic but denied breaking the law. Australian Independent Radio News. AFL, and despite the odds being stacked against Sydney from the moment Josh Kennett to ensure a thrilling 19-all draw against Super Rugby leaders the Canterbury Crusaders. The home side were 10-0 ahead early on and had the defending champions looking decidedly rattled before the playoff-bound Crusaders found a new gear to go 19-10 up early in the second half. But the Stormers fought back in an exciting high-tempo finish and three successful penalties ensured the draw. The Crusaders outscored the Stormers by 3-1, but the boot of Joshua Stander and his replacement Du Plessis made for a grandstand finish. Football, and Raheem Sterling has scored a hat-trick as Manchester City crushed Watford 6-0 in the FA Cup final to become the first team to win the English treble of league championship and both domestic cups in spectacular style. City, who retained the English Premier League title last week and won the League Cup with a penalty shootout victory over Chelsea in February, were in charge throughout and led 2-0 at half-time with goals by David Silva and Sterling. Kevin De Bruyne came off the bench to smash in the third after 61 minutes. Gabriel Jesus slotted the fourth soon after, and Sterling got his second 9 minutes from time. He finished it off in the 87th minute, becoming the first player to score an FA Cup final hat-trick since Stan Mortensen in 1953. Rugby League and North Queensland veteran Matt Scott has signalled to Kevin Walters and Maroons hierarchy that he's ready to end his three-year State of Origin exile. While he was overshadowed by his tireless teammate Jason Taumalolo, Scott helped lay the platform for the Cowboys' hard-fought 17-10 win over Parramatta last night. Australian Independent Radio News.
It's the Southern Hemisphere's number one sale of its type. The Magic Millions National Weanling Sale, May 22 to 24 on the Gold Coast. Over 725 lots by a record 119 individual sires, including 28 exciting first-season stallions. Graduates of the sale include Group 1 stars Fiero, Zoo Star, Seasons Bloom and Red Cell. It's also the premier sale for Pinhook Success. View the online catalogue now at magicmillions.com.au. The Magic Millions National Weanling Sale on the Gold Coast, May 22 to 24. The biggest, the best.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Great value stallions and attractive all-inclusive breeding packages are the feature of Coringle Start in 2019. Coringle is delighted to offer multiple Group 1 producer Magic Albert, who has close to 70% winners to runners and progeny earnings of more than $48 million. Magic Albert stands alongside exciting stallion prospect Prized Icon and Group 1 sire Dufour, as well as the Brothers War. For more information, contact Angus Lamont on 0429 842 875.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The Tabs made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to S-Tab and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
We hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning, the 19th of May 2019. I tell you what, we are excited about the next 3 hours of radio that's going to air. I don't know whether anyone else out there in radio land is as excited as us, Roman, but doesn't matter, really. We'll enjoy ourselves here Sunday morning. How are you, mate?
You've got to start in the front foot, haven't you?
You and Tanya had a, when I say a week off, you just didn't come in on Sunday morning. You did everything else, I think, in your busy work schedule. But how was last week having a bit of time off?
Well, it was good to wake up on a Sunday morning and not rush into here, though I did miss the show. But I tell you what, hasn't there been some fantastic games of football already this round? Thursday night, Storm v Tigers, 24-22, I think you called that game.
Yes.
Storm got out of jail late. Friday, we'll brush over the Penrith game. But, oh,
now, hang on,
dear, oh dear.
Come on, let's just go back to that. Can I just say that in many ways, the Panthers season was summed up in the try by Ignatius Parsi, where he was, the contact started 11 metres out from the line and he
just kept going.
Kept going with two and three defenders
and
hanging
off
him.
And a couple watching next to him.
And that's a very good point that you make.
Why weren't, anyway, and people say what's happening at Penrith. It's not like they're not trying, and you can see the anguish on the faces. Dylan Edwards, after that try was scored, did you see him rub his hands in his head?
No,
and
yeah.
The anguish on his face. The players are hurting, but I don't know what's going wrong out there, Jim. You've played at elite level football. When you get into a rut, sometimes you can't get out of it, can you?
That's exactly right. They say winning is a habit, losing's a habit as well. I was a little concerned, and Ivan Cleary's an ex-teammate of mine, and I know Ivan very well, but when people ask him in the press conference afterwards, you know, what are the answers, and I don't have any answers. I think that's a message that goes to the rest of the team and the rest of the club, and goes, well, if Ivan doesn't know, how am I supposed to know?
What are his players going to think when they hear his coach say, I haven't got the answers?
Yeah.
Don't you just paper over the cracks, say, oh, we're going to work harder here and we're going to find solutions. We've got faith in our players. Do something to give your playing group some confidence.
Correct. We are down at the moment. However, we're working hard. We've got a great team of players, and we will get it. We will make it through the other side. That's all you have to say.
Hey, Jim, I thought we were going to brush over Penrith. Warriors,
glad
30
we brushed
points
over Penrith.
That was awful to watch. But I tell you what, the next game on Friday night, Broncos re Roosters, was fantastic.
We'll brush over this one.
No, we won't. it was one of the great games of football. 15-10, the Broncos here. Their young forward pack really took it to the Roosters. And I'm really interested in Jabari Hargrave's comments after the match. He said they turned up. That their forward pack really took it to us. They admitted ownership, the Roosters forwards, that they got outplayed by the young Broncos pack. They were great to watch.
Okay, question without notice. Mm. Payne Haas.
Origin?
He's played less than 10 NRL games. Would you play him in Origin?
Gee, he's a weapon, isn't he?
He's 19, Ray.
He's a weapon. He seems ready for it, Jim. He's physically capable of playing the game.
Undoubtedly.
Mentally, he seems to take things in his stride.
Pretty comfortable.
He could have a massive impact off the bench, couldn't he?
He's in my 17.
Is he in your starting 13?
No.
Okay.
He's
off
in my 17. Imagine him
impact.
Off the bench.
Oh, I tell you who's got to play somewhere is Cody Walker. He has to be in New South Wales 17.
Okay, where?
You know what? Up until last week, I had Nathan Cleary down as halfback and Luke Keary at 5'8", and I think Mal Meninga has even picked his Origin team. I know New South Wales have invested in Nathan Cleary, but can you play an out-of-form halfback at Origin level? I just don't know anymore. I'd put Luke Keary at halfback and Cody Walker at 5'8". 11 tries, Cody Walker. He was brilliant again last night for the Rabbits. 11 try assists. Mm. He's just playing with so much confidence.
Your man James Graham said something during the course of the week which resonated with you.
He did. He said that you can play a forward who's not playing with confidence at Origin level because it's all about effort. They can turn up and produce a huge effort. They can play well. When you've got a game maker and a player in the halves, like a Nathan Cleary and a James Maloney, who are out of confidence, and you throw them into the cauldron at Origin level, it's a recipe for disaster. And that resonated with me.
So James Graham is insightful in saying that. Mal Meninga's picked Nathan Cleary. Let's find out what another Queenslander has to say about who should be the halves for New South Wales.
I'll say what no one else wants to say. They cannot pick the two halfbacks from 5'8" from last year. Now, what they do after that, I don't know. Now, they're key players in their club, and their club's not playing well. There's too many quality players in this competition that happen to wear New South Wales jerseys for those guys that have to be picked.
Always be wary of Queenslanders selecting New South Wales sides for you. However, it's hard to disagree with Mr. Bennett.
Gee. And he's not pitching up necessarily for Reynolds
and
Walker
either. No, he's not.
And I think everyone's got Luke Keary in the side, correct?
Well, a lot of people. A lot of people like Cook, dummy half, Reynolds on the right, Walker on the left.
You haven't got Keary in.
Well, I have, but a lot of people like that club combination. Mind you, they've played. I'm just trying to work out whether Luke Keary played with Damien Cook. I don't think he did, but he certainly played with Adam Reynolds, obviously.
He's playing well. I'd be staggered if he missed out. Curveball to you, James.
Yes.
A halfback in the last 2 or 3 weeks has really turned his form around and turned around his club's season. If he has a blinder this afternoon at Mudgee for Newcastle, a certain Mitchell Pearce, could he play his way back into an Origin jumper?
It's an excellent question. Fascinating, isn't it? The way he's played over the last 3, maybe 4 weeks.
He's left at that club, hasn't he?
I thought the first, outside of the first game against Cronulla, the 5 weeks after that, I thought was very disappointing for Mitchell Pearce. He looked distracted.
Yep.
He didn't look focused clearly on what he had to do.
Club playing poorly, players not playing with confidence. It's like Penrith now. They've turned it around at Newcastle, and they've turned around the back of Mitchell Pearce's performances.
Correct. Does Freddie go back to the well? That would be the interesting one there. Big news during the course of the week. It happened late on Friday, 4 o'clock, in fact. Jack DeBellin. The no-fault stand-down policy of the National Rugby League was upheld. So they the court suggested that, yes, the NRL were well within their rights to be able to stand Jack DeBellin down. Came as a bit of a shock to a lot of people. However, Scott Sattler said on a rival radio network that he had someone on the inside there. He said the first 3 days went very well for Jack DeBellin. The fourth and final day went very well for the NRL.
So where does that leave us? Because I understand the Rugby League Players Association are considering appealing that decision.
Yes.
But where does that leave Jack DeBellin now, given that his civil case may not go to the courts for some months?
I had a text message conversation with Brian Johnson, the CEO of the St. George Illawarra Dragons. He was on his way out to Mudgee last night. He said that there are actually only two options that Jack DeBellin have: appeal the decision or wait for his criminal case. And when I asked which avenue he was going to pursue, he said too early, legal need to review the decision as it was only released 4 p.m. Friday. So it was just over 24 hours later.
Who's funding Jack DeBellin's legal
from what
case?
I understand Jack is.
Well, I've heard it's cost him over $300,000 already.
Mm.
Now, how much? I know you've got he wants to prove his innocence, and I certainly understand where he's coming from, but the financial toll as well as the emotional toll it's taking on.
Can you imagine?
And even the players around him. Like, you know, this is one of their teammates. And I sympathise with the lady in question, but I'm talking about the football player here.
Yes.
The emotional toll this is taking on him and the players around him at St. George Illawarra. You can't put a measure on that, Jim.
Well, earlier in the year, the club said they're going to wrap their arms around Jack DeBellin, and they had grave concerns from a welfare point of view. I can only imagine that that has escalated since that point. And it's well said, Ray, the point you make about being compassionate and having empathy for all parties involved. 1353 53, the open line number. You can get involved in that one. The other big news, of course, that came out on Friday at almost a similar time, Israel Folau.
Yeah, huge news day, wasn't it?
Huge news day. No surprise that the contract was terminated after being found guilty of a high-level breach. However, if anyone thinks that's the last we've heard of it, they're, I would say, sadly mistaken.
Yeah, look, he's almost certainly going to appeal, isn't he?
Sure, sure.
Situation looks like this to me, Jimmy. Tell if I'm wrong. Looks like Israel Folau won't be playing rugby in any form in Australia again. But where does that leave him in relation to, say, a France rugby team coming with a huge contract for him?
I think he's very open to that. I think he'd do that in a heartbeat. However, my feeling is that he won't walk out having been owed $4 million by Rugby Australia. And that's what he'll go to court and fight for. And I think there are a lot of legal minds who suggest that he'd have a very good chance of winning that. So, again, it's one of those situations. As unpalatable as I found those comments and what he actually wrote on social media, his right to voice it is the thing that's under question here, and I think he'd go very close to having a win in that Supreme Court if he was to go there. 1353 53.
As you said, it's not the last we've heard of that, is it, Jim?
What about racing yesterday, Raymond, at Rosehill Gardens?
Well, can I just say, how about the punter who put $1 million on Labor? This is a sports show, so we won't go to the national election, but how about that? I heard someone tweeted last night, you're better off putting it on Winks, that's a sure thing, which is probably true.
So what price did they get for
$1.20.
That's an incredible result.
$1.20. And also some betting operators were paying out before the election result yesterday. They thought it was a foregone conclusion.
Crazy.
It's just staggering.
Just on that, if any politicians are listening this morning and they have aspirations of being Prime Minister of Australia, you could do better than to get the Smith family to live in your electorate.
Why is that?
Well, we used to live in Wentworth and Malcolm Turnbull became Prime Minister, right? And then we moved to Cook, and then all of a sudden ScoMo becomes Prime Minister of this country and returned in what was a major upset yesterday. All I'm saying is, if anyone has...
You've now somehow aligned yourself with this miracle win by the Liberal National Party.
You're the schmuck. ScoMo!
Oh, geez,
you need to keep me in your electorate. At least, the least he could do is say, listen, mate, you don't have to pay the rates this year.
How do we get onto this?
You took us onto this!
No, I just couldn't believe a bloke have $1 million on an election, given in recent years how electoral polls have been thrown into total disarray all around the world, haven't they? So it's just been said. Races yesterday at Rosehill. Grey Line. This is a horse who's turned all around. He couldn't win a race, Huddy, for 3 years. He's gone back-to-back for Matty Smith, won the Lord Mayor's Cup. We'll talk to Matty a little bit later. The Group 1 Doomben Cup. Jimmy, another ex-Darren Weir horse for Kieran Mars coming through. Kanedna. Bit of unlucky, a horse called Life Less Ordinary, probably should have won. And in Adelaide, Dispatch wins a Goodwood, which I don't think was a Group 1 standard, but it happened some years.
13:53:53, the open line number. Yeah, we'll speak to Gary Moore, More Fun Racing. Matty Smith, we'll have a chat to Matty too about Grey Line. Michael Hawks will be on to speak about Desert Lord. Very dominant win, Desert Lord, wasn't it? Peter Peters will tell us, if you've got any money down the back of the couch, you could buy Manly.
What are you hearing about that, Jim? the Penn family putting the Seagulls up for sale?
Yes. I think that's been mooted for a period of time now.
You've heard that for a while, haven't you?
And so whether they can... I tell you what would be interesting, is consortium of player agents who buy it. They'd have to negotiate with themselves.
That'd be funny.
That would be fascinating. So we'll speak to Zorb about that. We'll have Jared Daffy from TAB. We'll go to Pimlico for the Preakness after the controversy of...
And that's not going away either, is it?
No.
He's now got a $20 million match race he's calling for.
I saw that. Legend of the game today is James Tompkins. Just the 6 Olympic Games for James. 11 world championships.
Awesome foursome.
7 gold medals. And 1 fruit ad.
Do you reckon you better name for that? I hope not. He's a fantastic Olympian and looking forward to talking to James Tompkins.
Can't wait to play that ad in full. We'll get a sports update from Tanya. We'll speak to Phil Moss. Big day today. Sydney Sky Blue, boys.
She's over there in that cauldron.
Who's your team?
I'm a Sky Blue, Sydney FC.
You sure you're not a Wanderers fan?
No, always been Sydney FC.
Okay.
Tanya goes for the Wanderers, She likes the Wanderers. And
see, your household. This is a tough week for your household, isn't it?
It's a tough week for
Giants,
me.
Giants beat Carlton, and then on Thursday...
We're thinking of going to that this afternoon, but I just don't want to go and watch another massacre. We're going to butter up Thursday night to watch Penrith get beaten by Parramatta.
Well, look, my advice to you is this. When you go to Bankwest Stadium on Thursday, just enjoy the stadium.
Which is not hard to do.
No, that's right. It's fantastic. However, I think you'll enjoy the footy. So we'll speak to Mossy about the grand final. They are the outsiders here, Sydney FC. $3, Perth Glory, $2.30. 65,000 at Optus Stadium.
Is that how much it fills?
It's 60, but when they do a rectangular sport, they bring in some additional seating.
There you go. So I think it's the biggest ever A-League grand final crowd.
Correct. It'll beat Suncorp. So from those Brisbane games back in the early 2000s. Dean Ritchie will be along too to give us all the latest from the rugby league world as well.
James, sad news during the week, and I think a player that... would you have played against Quentin Ponga?
Absolutely. Shocking news. 48 years of age, Raider number 149, and a man that just elicited so much respect from everyone who played against him, and especially those players who played with him. He was just a guy that... personified toughness, a premiership winner with the Raiders in 1994, had time at the Warriors and the Dragons and the Roosters and Wigan, but known predominantly for that win with Canberra in 94, 35 tests and captained his nation. It is condolences to all of Quentin's family.
Ricky Stewart's tribute made me sit up and take notice. He described Quentin Ponga as the toughest player he's played with or coached or seen. I think it says everything, doesn't it?
And Mel Meninga described him as a warrior, which is fairly apt as well. So Quentin has encouraged us to, with our talk topic this morning, and that is tough players. Speaking of tough players, I saw Terry Hermanson on the field one day. He hit Martin Lang in a tackle, and Terry Hermanson was as hard a man as you'd ever play against.
Granite?
And Martin Lang... it literally ran through my mind as I saw it. Oh, my God, he's killed him.
Were you on the field at the time?
I was on the field. Oh, my God, he's killed him. Martin Lang just got up and played the ball and it was playing.
He was tough, Martin Lang. He was tough, but Terry Hermanson.
So Martin Lang gets my nomination.
So tough axe or can I?
Either or.
Double barrel, is that all right?
Yes.
Rick McCosker's act when he came out with a broken jaw in the centenary test 1977. I was a kid and he came out with his head wrapped in bandages and the baggy green on top. I just
no helmets.
I was just absolutely staggered that he could do it. And he batted for a while. He held up an end
yes.
while Rod Marsh went
yes.
and scored 100. It was phenomenal. I thought that was courage personified. Talk about playing for your nation, playing for your team. That, to me, was the epitome of it that day. And also, Jim, would you have ever played against the late, great Steve Folkes? Or?
No, I don't think so. No.
What I always admired about Steve Folkes was he was no bigger than me, I don't reckon, but he was the fittest man I reckon I've
yes.
ever seen. He played massively above his weight.
Yes.
And he took on huge players and held his own for, what, 10, 15 years of a celebrated career playing in the forwards, in the engine room of the Canterbury Bulldogs. What a player he was.
Just like Quinton Ponga, respected by all who played with and against him,
yeah.
Steve Folkes. So good nominations there, Raymond. It's a little bit sombre, but we are respecting the life and career of Quinton Ponga this morning with our talk topic. 1353 53 is the open line number. By the way, Donald Trump, $2 at tab to win the next presidential election. I know you'd like to get into your political stouches here.
The sports show, James.
That's right, it is a sports show. We'll take a break, and after that we'll come back with probably some more sport.
Breeding prospects like never before at the Magic Millions National Broodmare Sale, May 28 to 31 on the Gold Coast. The biggest and best lineup of race fillies, broodmares and stallion prospects in the Southern Hemisphere with over 1,100 lots. Graduates of the sale include the dams of recent stars, Wink Stant and Elaine, trapeze artist and Angel of Truth. This year's sale includes over 200 black type fillies and mares, ranging from 2-year-old stakes performers to Group 1 producers. For more information and to view the catalogue, visit magicmillions.com.
Mondays just got faster with new Bundy Mondays. Every Monday, Harbour. Direct from Bundaberg in the Sunshine State, get your week off to a flying start with an action-packed card of top-flight greyhound racing. Bundaberg Greyhounds, Bundy Mondays. Catch the action every Monday, Harbour. Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help 1-800-858-858.
Business is thriving and we're growing really fast. I want to keep the momentum and open a second garage, but I just don't have the cash.
So you call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. We've helped thousands of small business owners get ahead with loans of up to $250,000. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you expand your business, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta. And coming soon to Liverpool.
Diamond Thunder narrowly. Espinola and Kubrick are coming together. Espinola the centre. Kubrick's after him. Kubrick, Espinola, they come to the line and ahead bomber. Kubrick. Kubrick just beat Espinola. Beat him ahead.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, big day for the Wallace Stable yesterday, 1353-53, the open line number. Just before we get to the race replays, Raymond, Bryce sends in a really great SMS here. Morning, Jensen, Tanya. Not sure if you've mentioned about Jared Lyle, a strong friendship with Ricky Fowler, Jason Duffner. They're showing their character. They've got mullets and Jared Lyle Foundation pins that they're wearing at the USPGA event. In fact, Ricky's foundation has started to focus on leukemia research and giving assistance to sufferers and their family. Very touching. Gone, but not forgotten. R.I.P. Jared, long-time listener, Bryce.
Yeah, well said, Bryce.
Yeah, didn't know that, Bryce. Thank you for pointing it out.
Talk about toughness. Didn't Jared do the tough fight for so many years and left a young family? It's really tragic. On to Rose Hill yesterday, and we'll talk to Gary Moore shortly, Jim, because he labelled Host Wins Supreme as potentially the best sprinter he's trained.
Then followed Host Wind Supreme, Above and Beyond Exceltic, getting the outside, Transmitter, Legislation, Emerita heads the others. Burning Crowns after Call Me Royal at the 300. Oxford Tycoon squeezing through on the rail. Host Wind Supreme is next, and then followed by Exceltic, Above and Beyond. It's Burning Crown, Call Me Royal, Oxford Tycoon, the rail. Host Wind Supreme coming as well. Four of them coming to the line. Call Me Royal, Host Wind Supreme, Host Wind Supreme. I reckon Host Wind Supreme are nose to Call Me Royal. Oxford Tycoon, a close-up.
Better than takedown was the call from Gary Moore after the win. Heading to Brisbane, what's the race that's going to be targeted there?
There's a stakes race on Stradbroke Day, I think, Gary's looking at. So I'm just taking him through his grades. He jumped from a maiden to a Sydney Saturday class benchmark 78, got the job done. So he is a young horse with ability.
Okay, takedown's a Group 1 winner, though, right?
He is. He's got a long way to go, okay. But Gary Moore's been training a long time, so he knows what it takes to get a good horse. On to the Lord Mayor's Cup. Look, if the Host Wins Supreme finish was a beauty, how about this Lord Mayor's Cup won by Grey Lion?
Grey Lion's about to hook out with Girl Tuesday. Abden needs a run. Kelstorm next. Getting to the outside, Live and Free with High Bridge. Allwood hit a narrow lead from Tamarack. Emperor's Way can't get a look at them. Grey Lion runs on. Girl Tuesday. Abden squeezing through. Live and Free out wider. Where to look at the 100? Grey Lion, Girl Tuesday. Abden coming late with Black on Gold. Grey Lion, Girl Tuesday. They hit it. Oh, this is close. Grey Lion or Girl Tuesday, photo finish, great go third, Live and...
In the end, it was Grey Lion, Girl Tuesday, disappointment for you, Raymond.
On Girl Tuesday.
Live and Free, disappointment for me. So,
oh, you were on Live and Free.
I was on Live and Free, 2,000 metres there, another win over that distance for Grey Lion. So what's up next
for Grey
Lion?
The Brisbane Cup, we'll talk to Matty Smith shortly, but geez, found the key to that horse. Most impressive winner yesterday at Rose Hill. Put this horse's name down in your little black book. It's called Desert Lord.
And Berry's just trying to get Desert Lord into the clear. He pumps him along now. Top striker next, then Island Missile Gresham back to the fence. Oriental runner at the 200, a length clear from Piracy. Desert Lord is starting to come. He's starting to hit top gear. Oh, he bent bang at the 100. Desert Lord dashed past them. The race is all over just like that. Desert Lord is pricked by three. Island Missile up for second. Third, either Oriental runner...
Just a very good win from Desert Lord. Michael Hawksby on the program in the next hour as well. And here he is, $26 in the Stradbroke. It does need to qualify. Is that right?
I think you'll need to win a lead-up race to get in if they go down that path. Yeah.
That's on the 8th of June. Zeus Style, $6 favourite there. And Tie Zone at $8.
Well, they both won impressively yesterday. Zeus Style still unbeaten. It's going great guns, so he's heading towards Stradbroke. On to Brisbane yesterday. James Group 1 racing the Doomben Cup. Very open race, but Canedna, brilliantly ridden by John Allen.
Next one, Red Alto, followed there by, back behind those horses, Savvy Cope. Arcademus at the 300 metres marker. Quickly on the outside, Jen Song's out after it. Weaving through is Canedna. And also Lover Lover down the outside with Tally. Arcademus, Canedna, Jen Song, Lifeless Ordinary. Canedna's in front from Lifeless Ordinary. Canedna's in front. Canedna's won the cut from Lifeless Ordinary in 60s groove out wide. Followed by Jen...
So Canedna, a great win there. Where will Canedna head?
Look, if they keep her in work, I dare say the Brisbane Cup's probably on the agenda for her. 2,400 metres might be a stretch, but probably no other races. I doubt they'd keep her going for a Tats TR. It's a bit over a month away.
Right.
She had a long prep, but she is flying. Other Group 1 yesterday was over in Adelaide. It's the Goodwood Handicap. Dispatch, underrated sprinter, he just keeps winning.
Zalmona still Frostbite. He's saving ground through on the inside from Casino Wizard. Iconoclasm still well back with Booker. The front runner Dispatch led Valor Road. Cool Passion. Sprite's getting right up near the inside. Jamaican Rain deeper with Hard Empire. The leader still Dispatch. Sprite was late on the inside, but Dispatch in front. Behemoth flying. Dispatch in front. Dispatch wins the Goodwood. Just lasted for McAvoy. Wins narrowly from Behemoth. A massive run. Third.
Let's upset everyone in South Australia that we're going to at the moment. Roman, soft Group 1?
Well, to be fair, it probably was. Yeah, well, it was.
Right.
Honestly. Yeah. We haven't got time to talk about group and race classifications in Australia, but it's such a flawed system.
Why don't we do that on our podcast?
We could do that. Yeah.
On our podcast. By the way, just on that dispatch, $15 chance for the Stradbroke. And let's mention those three horses at $11 behind Zoo Style and Tyre Zone. Plaguestone, the Bostonian, and Trekking.
Mm, open race. $11. We'll take some calls shortly. This is a good email from Rob from Newcastle. Good morning, boys. Love the show. I've watched a lot of league. I don't think the Penrith halves should keep their spots. I believe Maloney is trying hard, but I think Nathan Cleary has got it in his head with all the talk that he'll be there for the next 10 years, so he doesn't have to try. Have a great day, Rob Newcastle. Look, I think, to be fair, both Maloney and Cleary are trying. If you watch opposing team scoring tries, a guy who's trying to prevent those tries being scored quite often is Cleary, the last line of defence. So he's giving it his all. But that confidence thing, Jim, is just eroding their attack. It was a couple of times there Penrith had overlaps, had chances to score tries, passes went astray, passes went behind plays.
Behind plays, yes.
It was schoolboy stuff, wasn't it?
A 5-year deal for Nathan Cleary, 5-year deal for Ivan Cleary, and apparently said thank you but no thank you to Wayne Bennett. Allegedly.
But on the same token, Jim, they're both good enough to turn this around, aren't they?
There's a lot of time left, and I tell you what, it's an expensive exercise if you don't give them time to turn it around. 1353-53 is the open line number, and we're also looking for the toughest players, tough acts, following the very sad passing of Quinton Pongia. Let's go to the open line. Anthony's here. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning. Before I give you a tough player, can I just let something off my chest?
Yes.
Parramatta is now settled for mediocrity. I remember the critics, Dean Ritchie, you'll have Hoo-Hoo on later, and Buzz Rothfield and co., saying the Parramatta Club deserves better than just making the semis every year, so the Brian Smith and Dennis Fisher has got to go. Now we're settled on near enough is good enough to make the semis. And we're giving the guy who's been there 6 years another 2 years, and he's got two wooden spoons to boot. So can Dean Ritchie explain the difference between his thoughts on... he was just running, obviously just running an agenda. Didn't care about Parramatta Club at all.
Perception's everything, isn't it?
Oh,
perception's
we'll everything, dinner. Anthony. We'll ask dinner, Anthony.
But it's a point well made.
Yeah.
And we will ask.
Yeah, and tough players, I don't know, because I didn't play. I didn't play at the highest level. But and I'm on the outside looking in. You're on the field. But Jack Gibson, the great Jack Gibson, said that Terry Fay was the toughest player he ever coached.
I remember him saying that,
Terry
actually.
Terry Fay.
Yeah, Terry Fay. Yeah. I remember him actually saying that, Anthony.
That's right. And now he trains racers.
That's right.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
We had him on the program.
We did, yeah. And do you remember one origin when little Kerry Bosted made his debut for Queensland, was opposing Terry Fay, and New South Wales kept throwing the ball to Fay, thinking he'd run over Bosted like a roadblock. Boosted around the legs every time, kept knocking Terry Fay down. It was amazing.
I think he said he had a broken arm at training once, but he didn't know because he didn't tell anybody. He's just a tough guy.
Yeah, and he's still tough to these days.
The Redfern Express.
And Jimmy?
Yes.
Could Jack Wyden play right centre?
One of the questions, thank you, Anthony. One of the questions I have for Zorba this morning, and I'm going to ask Ray the same question. Who have you got? We'll go through our State of Origin sides next week, but who have you got at right centre for New South Wales at this point? Jack Bird's injured.
Yeah.
James Roberts is out of form.
Mal Meninga's picked James Roberts from reserve grade. Well, he hasn't played the last 2 weeks, James Roberts. And he's put him in his New South Wales team.
Yeah, I know.
Is it because he's just not many pushing forward?
Jack Wyden play. The only thing that concerns me around that is he's been left side playing 5-8 for the Raiders, and defensively that's a really key position. Well, they're all key positions, aren't they? But if you've got Munster and Ponga, Caelan Ponga coming at you down that Queensland left side, New South Wales right side, they'd be making him make decisions
the more
all
I think about
the time.
It's not a bad option because he's tough. He's defensively very good. He's got a high error rate, which is a concern at Origin level with penalties, etc. But, geez, he's a wholehearted competitor, isn't he?
I'm warming to the idea of Jack Wyden being number 14.
Yeah, okay.
I'm warming to that idea. But interesting one that you've thrown up there, Anthony. G'day, Billy. Cool.
G'day, boys. How you doing?
Really
morning,
well,
Billy.
Mate.
Toughest player, two of them.
Yeah.
They defended in the middle. They were about 2 foot tall. Tuvey and Langer.
Yes, yeah.
Well, Tuvey got a mention off air.
Yeah, Jimmy actually mentioned Tuvey. Hey, Billy, I remember when Manly threw Tuvey in against England. His first
Great Britain.
Yeah, Great Britain it was, yeah, for that trial match for the test matches. And everyone thought, who's this Jeff Tuvey kid? And he played a blinder.
100%. He was tough as.
Mm.
Mate, on that Folau thing, yeah. I get where you're coming from legally. However, in the job that I do, I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
If I did something like Folau did, I wouldn't just get suspended with pay. I'd get sacked because it is against the code of, as they have their code of conduct for their players, everyone has their code of conduct for their employer. Now, if we did that, mate, you wouldn't have it. Not only would you not have a job with that employer, you wouldn't get a start anywhere.
No.
So he's lucky in a position. And I'm not arguing he's right to say what he believes in. I've got no drama with that. However, the interesting thing for me is that all of the leaders of the church have been very quiet on this issue.
There has been no
leader from the church come out to support Israel Folau by posting that on social media.
Except his own church, which is interesting in itself. Billy,
good
it's
call,
a
Billy.
Very, very complex issue. We get an SMS here from Harpo who says, again, Jimmy Smith gets it wrong. It wasn't a comment from Israel. It was a quote from the Bible. And yes, it was almost word for word from the Bible, which means, and by the way, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's right. Let's put that question up there too. But the other point about it is this. In a court of law, what is the document that you're asked to swear on?
It's the Bible.
To prove that you're telling the truth.
It's the Bible.
The Bible.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if you then go in and question whether the thing you ask witnesses to swear on is actually a legitimate document, that then becomes a very cyclical argument.
Billy's point's very well made.
Undoubtedly.
Workplace ethics and standards. You and I have got certain ethics and standards we have to abide by in this radio station, and everyone's the same. So, but the telling point for me is, what exactly was the stipulation made to Israel Folau re his social media comments by Rugby Australia after the first issue we had last year?
Well, he had that second part of the contract that he didn't sign.
Mm.
Remember, they said, oh, by the way, he'd already signed the $4 million
Correct.
Deal. But that's where Rugby Australia got it wrong.
Correct.
Administratively, they got it wrong.
Mm.
1353 53, the open line number. Pete's on the line. G'day, Pete.
G'day, gentlemen. How are you?
Very well, mate.
Before the replacement rules in rugby league, Doug Beattie in a test match in Brisbane against the Poms had a broken collarbone. He started throwing punches at Rocky Turner, who retaliated. They both got sent off.
So that was
actually curry. But you both of you have played a bit of cricket.
Yes.
How would you like to play test cricket with one eye? Colin Milburn, and I think he was the Narwhal of Petorti. Come out here as the captain of India. They both of them had one eye.
Really?
I think that must take the greatest courage of all.
Oh, he did extraordinary.
I didn't know that
about neither did I.
Colin Milburn?
Colin Milburn lost at the car accident. I'm not sure what happened. With the Indian guy.
Yeah. That's extraordinary, Pete. Yeah.
Good one, Pete.
Good call. Back to back there.
Very good.
This is a good
Very
one, too. This is from Maryland Newcastle Banana Filler. He says, hi, guys. Wayne Jr. Pierce played way above his weight. He would have been lucky to tip the scales around 88 or 90 kilos, probably even lighter than that. Very similar to Steve Folks, aren't they, in terms of their fitness, their dedication and their courage.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 1353 53, the open line number. Just before we go to a break, I saw my mate Luke Sammet, Tukes, out at Bankwest Stadium, listens to the program all the time. And you know what he was driving? The most magnificent Mazda BT50.
Ah.
He said, come over here and have a look at it. And took me through, showed me the...
You've always wanted one, haven't you?
Oh, it made me jealous. Good on you, Tukes. Things are looking up for you. Fair dinkum, flying.
Sky Sports Radio and Racing New South Wales would like to congratulate all the recipients in this year's Australian Racing Hall of Fame.
Foxy's well clear, Winks. Today we farewell an Australian
leading Sydney jockey Hugh Bowman has been inducted, along with Brent Thompson, as well as recently retired trainer John Maher, while former Victorian racing steward Pat Lawler was included as an associate. In the horses category, Beau Rowe, So You Think, Val Marino and Hallmark were inducted. All achievements have been outstanding, and we thank all inductees for playing such an important role in Australian thoroughbred racing.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The tab's made 1-2-3. 1, 2, 3, even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1, 2, 3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Join Shelly Hancock's to race the rising three-year-old filly by Hussin to be trained by Scott Singleton at Hawkesbury. Hussin, 64% winners to runners, 15 stakes winners, including Lucky Hustler, Frolic and Russin. The Dam, Blue Garter by Snip and Son, won three. This is the second foal. Your 5% share, only $1,500, 180 a month covers cost, 2.5% shares available. Bob's qualified, free replacement offer. For a PDS, call Shelly on 03-5274-9171 or see the website Hancock's, hancox.com.au. AFSL 227-365.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here, live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Now 142 yards for Brooks Koepka. And see, yet another short club. This is the decision maker. Look how he's ready to play.
Throws a gap wedge right at it. He's playing darts. Everyone else is playing golf.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Oh, that's going to be very strange if Brooks Koepka wins the PGA title playing darts. Yeah, but anyway, he leads by a converted try over Luke List. Yeah, so there you go. I stole panel operator Hamish's line too. So he is 12 under through 11 today, the third round. He's even for the day, and he is Luke List is there at 6 under. Along
Where's Adam Scott?
Dustin Johnson, DJ. Adam Scott is at 4 under. He was plus 1 for today through 12.
Okay. Brooks Koepka very hard to run down. Talking about hard to run down, Grey Line. He was under siege from the top of the straight yesterday. Just kept going. Trainer Matty Smith on the line. Matt, good morning. And, well, what's the secret with Grey Line? You've turned this horse right around, Matt.
Morning, fellas. Yeah, well, it was a really tough win yesterday. It was good to see he was sort of got out of the top of the straight, didn't he? But he just kept fighting for the line. It was great to see that fight. Back in the horse, and he's in fantastic shape.
Yeah, so back in the horse is the interesting one there, Matty. So why does it leave a horse and then come back? How does that happen? Because there has been different stages when Grey Line has been challenged and didn't respond like he did yesterday.
Yeah, look, I think, I don't know, I think probably, a sound horse, and a horse you can train, the way you to win these races really helps. I don't know what it was like previous preparations, but when he got here, he had a few issues with his legs, and we were able to give him the right amount of time off, and then getting him back in the right frame of mind, I think if they're happy and they're sound, and he's already showing like he's a very good horse. So if you can get him back in the right frame of mind, like you see yesterday how he really wanted to win. He just fought on yesterday. It was great to see. I think. I think he can go on with it now, for sure.
Yeah, he's got a touch of class, hasn't he, Matt? And that's showing through, and he's a happy, sound horse. Naturally, he's a very, very good stayer. Are you training him more as a sprinter, I guess, Matt, to put some speed into his legs?
Yeah, we've just shortened him up and kept him, it's really a fine line because you're trying to run them in distance races, but you're preparing them, to keep them sharp and keeping his mind fresh and keeping him happy and keeping him wanting to get out there and run. So when we're going to the races with him, we want him a little bit above himself so that he's really wanting to go out and win. So it is a fine line, and we were a month between runs yesterday, and I suppose first time at the horse, you're wondering whether you've got him exactly perfect, but certainly, his recovery was good yesterday, and it seems to be he's right on the money at the moment and the way he's working and the way he's racing. So no reason we shouldn't, head to our plan was always to go to the Brisbane Cup, so we'll continue that way.
The reason I asked that question, Matt, because there's something that Cathy O'Hara said yesterday after winning on the horse, that he's probably getting fitter racing than he is on the training track, but he's such a clean-winded horse, and in Cathy's words, he pulled up fantastically well after the race.
Yeah, no, that was good to hear, because you want the trainer, you want to get them right every time they go around. But when you're experimenting, sometimes you don't get it spot on. But I was really pleased to hear Cathy said, you know, he pulled up really well in the wind, and she said he's ready to go further. And he had that bit of pep in his step yesterday. She said he really wanted to be there and he wanted to win. So, you know, for me, that's what we need to hear. And he's pulled up great this morning. So, I think we're right on track with him.
Brisbane Cup, 2,400 metres, June 8. I think that's the next target, Matty. Is that right? And will there be anything in between?
That's it. No, that's 3 weeks away. That's perfect for him. And with the two 2,000s under his belt, you know, and he pulled up good yesterday. Like, I think he's right on song, you know. And I think he's in really good order. And I think there's no reason why he wouldn't be competitive.
Yeah, Matt, you missed Grey Line yesterday. You were in Brisbane hoping for a good result from Fierce Impact. Looked a messy race, and I guess he just got too far back.
Yeah, look, we had to make a plan, really, because it's a really short run of the first turn there yesterday, and we planned to ride in quiet. And I think we're in the right spot, to be fair. Horse ran second was on our inside through the run, and I was pretty happy at the 700, but I think Michael he felt we wanted to ride for luck and just take our chances, but he just felt he was travelling too well at the time, and he popped off, and then it changed the whole complexity of where we're going to end up in the run. The eventual second horse got up our inside and took out where we were going to go, and it just went a bit south from there onwards, but... that's the way it goes sometimes. We just got to regroup. He's a good horse, and he's got a good win in him, that horse. And we'll give him a spell now, and we'll get him ready for the spring.
Yeah, excellent. Well, good luck with that, Matty. Well done yesterday. Great win for Grey Line, and appreciate your time this morning.
Anytime. No worries. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. There he is, Matty Smith, the trainer of Grey Line. Now, just before we go to our next guest, we've got Craig from Cronulla, who has texted the program and loves the show, apparently. Really loves you, Ray. But no to Jack Whiten for him. Mm-hmm. And along similar lines, one try assist, 23 missed tackles, 18 errors.
Yeah, the error rate, yeah.
The error rate, which is what you spoke about. So the only thing about it is that he'd be playing right centre, so he wouldn't have to create tries.
Good point.
You have to stop them. But I heard Ryan Girdler say, Tyrone Peachy at right centre. And I thought, but then he gives you hooker coverage.
How's he been playing? I haven't seen a lot of
not well.
The gold cases.
Not well.
Yeah, okay.
But he gives you hooker coverage. So that's the thing. Mm. If Damien Cook gets injured, heaven forbid, in the first 10 minutes, who goes to hooker?
That's a very good point.
Brad Fittler's, that's something he's got to think of.
Exactly. Gary Moore's got plenty to think of now. Will this horse host win supreme because he's a star on the rise, and Gary's been good enough to join us. Gary, good morning. Congratulations with host win supreme yesterday. You made a lot of us sit up and take notice when you described host win supreme as potentially the best sprinter you've trained, Gary.
Definitely, Ray. I've trained two very good sprinters during my career. One was Takedown, who won the winter bottom, and the other one was a horse called Viva Pronto. He won $1 million in Macau. But this horse has got the attributes of going right to the top. I mean, he was a better horse as a two-year-old than the Query, who won the kindergarten.
Yeah.
It's just he's had a few little quirks in the gate. And my thanks go to the Barrier Boys, Vet. But he showed his true mettle yesterday. I mean, any horse that runs home in 33.6 boys at Warwick Farm, I mean, you've got to take notice.
Exactly.
And that's been one of the issues, hasn't it, Gary? The fact just trying to get the horse to the races because the trials has been, I think the word's fractious is the best way to describe it. So how do you go about doing that? Is it just getting used to being in the gates more and more?
I guess a little claustrophobic, but what I did is naturally we took him to the gate and had to pass the barrier trials with him, and I took all the gear off him before Warwick Farm, which included tongue tie, crossover noseband, and the rest, and I think it might have done the trick because he seemed to be a lot more settled in the gate now, even though he's missed it half a length yesterday. But I think he's turned the corner, and I think he's a very exciting sprinter in the making, and by a wonderful sire.
Yeah, exactly. I guess the clue too, Gary, was the fact that you took him from a midweek Warwick Farm maiden and were prepared to test him against proven Saturday horses at a benchmark 74. You could have taken easier options with host win supreme.
It's funny because I wanted to go to Canterbury on Wednesday, Ray. It's an easy route.
Yeah.
And then my racing coordinator said, look, if you think he's up to stakes class, you've got to run him on Saturday. And he showed us that he's a really nice horse. I mean, like Schofield said, if we were running 5th, 6th, they weren't going a great gallop. And so he's had to make up a few lengths to overhaul Gay's filly.
So what's the racing manager think next?
He's asking for a pay rise, I think.
besides being asking for a pay rise.
No, I dined with him last night.
Did you shout there, Gary?
Exactly.
Champagne and caviar.
Very good.
But I mean, a long-range plan, look, we'll look at the June stakes, the listed races coming up to 1,100, and if he keeps progressing like I think he will, we might look at the Hong Kong Sprint in December.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's massive. Yep. Cool, yeah.
That would be big. Now, I just want to ask you about More Fun Racing, doing some advertising across this radio station. How's things tracking, Gary? It's good when you get a horse like Host Win Supreme in the stable.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's been very good. We've had a lot of people calling and asking what we have and what's the plans in the future. And so we had a good response, and we're very grateful to Sky for allowing us to use the space.
More than happy to allow you to do it again, Gary. Obviously, there'll be a transaction around that, but we're very open to that.
We can always have lunch.
You better be careful, because Jimmy's taste, I tell you what, Gary.
Champagne and caviar sounds lovely.
Have a big breakfast.
Good call.
Fantastic. Well done yesterday, Gary, and appreciate your time this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks, Gary.
There he is, Gary Moore from More Fun Racing, by the way. He's a character, isn't he?
He's a great bloke. And it's good to see him win, because he brings a lot of energy when he wins a race, and it's fantastic.
I was going to say, he's a bloke who enjoys his wins.
He does, and that's what it's all about. Enjoy your racing.
By the way, just looking at the form line coming through, Host Win Supreme, 3rd of 7 back in November last year at Gosford. Have a look at the horse that won.
Know.
It's the legendary Vedder.
Don't tell Tan. She'll say what's happened.
What is the... Could you just give us a Vedder update?
Slight injury. I was talking to Team Hawks yesterday and needs a couple of months out there.
Couple of months, okay.
They're delicate animals, racehorses.
Oh, they are. They are. You don't have to tell me about it, Ray. In saying that, King's Trust.
Oh, I've heard, yes.
King's
How about
Trust,
you?
You're, back in the stable.
You're chipper. You're up now.
Oh, I tell you what, there's a syndicate.
Team
myself
Snowden
and,
looking after you.
There's a syndicate of about 15 of us, and myself and former Tiger and Eel and Dragon, Corey Pearson, were very bullish.
Well, that's the thing. See, racehorse ownership may seem expensive, but if you're involved with your mates in the syndicate, it's not all that expensive. And how much fun is it? You can own 1% of a horse and, as they say, have 100% of the fun.
Well, I had the boys in the car as we were going to a game out at ANZ Stadium last year when it was on a Monday. Running at Royal Randwick and, Kensington Track. And then we pulled over the car and they said, "Dad, why are you cheering so much?" Because we just had a horse win, boys.
There's a lot riding on this.
Our future is secured. Well, not really, but anyway, more work. 1353 53, the open line number. Time now to say good morning for the first time to Tanya with the scratchings around the country.
Good morning, folks. Good morning, everyone. Racing today in New South Wales is at Gunnedah. It's Gunnedah Cup Day. Also at Wagga. We have the Sunshine Coast in Queensland and Strathalbyn in South Australia. Let's start with Gunnedah. The weather is fine. The track is soft 6. The rail is true. And there are 42 scratchings. So we'll just go the numbers, but we'll give the names for the Gunnedah Cup. Race 1, take out numbers 1, 5 and 9. 1, 5, 9. Race 2, number 1, 3, 7, 15, 16, 17. 1, 3, 7, 15, 16, 17. Race 3, numbers 1, 4, 5 and 11. 1, 4, 5 and 11. Out of race 4, numbers 2 and 6. 2 and 6. Race 5, 3, 4, 9, 13, 14, 15, 16 and 18. 3, 4, 9, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18. Out of race 6, numbers 1, 9, 11, 15 and 18. 1, 9, 11, 15 and 18. Race 7, take out number 1, Unbiased. 2, Pirate Ben. 5, Pippi's Pride. 6, Cool and Neat. 9, Noel's Gift. 12, Wild Cavalier. 13, Collins Creek. 15, Tennessee Man. And 18, Evangelist. 1, 2, 5, 6, 9, 12, 13, 15 and 18 out of the Gunnedah Cup. And race 8, take out numbers 1, 5, 11, 14 and 15. 1, 5, 11, 14 and 15 from race 8 at Gunnedah. To Wagga, the weather is fine. The track a good 4. The rail is out 3 metres the entire circuit, and we have 13 scratchings. Race 1, take out 12, Rippling Waters, number 12. Race 2, 9, Kitso Supreme. 14, Withorn. And 17, Jukebox George. 9, 14 and 17. Race 3 is clear. Out of the 4th, number 13, Leola, number 13. Race 5, number 5, Miss Belisa. 6, Chips Are Down, 5 and 6 from race 5. Race 6, number 5, Eurosay. 6, Francisco Pizarro. 8, Tyson Returns. 11, Old Man's Angel. And 17, Master Moving. 5, 6, 8, 11 and 17 from race 6. And race 7, take out number 5, Sepulchre. I'm sure that's not how it's pronounced, but that's how it's spelt. Sepulchre out of race 7 at Wagga. And the Sunshine Coast, the weather there is overcast. The track's a heavy 9. The rail is out 3 metres from the 1200 to the 400 through the remainder. Penetrometer 7.01 and 21 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Race 2, take out 7, Zedge, number 7. Race 3, number 2, Scrabble. 3, Cha-Cha. 5, They Call Me Rose. And 7, Excelsior Island. 2, 3, 5 and 7. Race 4, take out 1, Back the Rock. 5, Flying Honour. 7, Potro Duro. 14, Too Hard to Call. 15, Too Hard to Miss. And 16, Speziel. 1, 5, 7, 14, 15 and 16. Race 5, take 7, Sixes, number 7. Race 6, number 3, Muddy Rope. 5, Puppet Master. 7, Zoffanoff. And 9, Good Time Charlie. 3, 5, 7 and 9. Race 7, number 3, Pierre Bizzell. 4, Elmo's Fire. 6, Commissioner. And 10, Rock Dancer. 3, 4, 6 and 10 from the 7th. And race 8, take out 1, Ridgeway. Number 1 from race 8 at the Sunshine Coast, Raymond.
Thanks, Tan. Tips today, going to our race 6, number 5, Joydney for Tracy Bartley. Into race 7, number 4, Beauty Best for Melanie O'Gorman. On to Wagga, race 4, number 4, Tribbiani. I think it's almost better the day, Tribbiani. It's about $2.40, Jim. So.
Mm-hmm.
Then race 6, number 2, Palamedes. I know his second up record isn't great, but he's $6. His first up run was terrific. I think he's great value, race 6, number 2, Palamedes.
Out of the very astute Nick Olive Yard there. Just before we go to the news, lots of SMS coming in around toughest player, Jimmy and Ray. While I'm far from a Hawthorn fan, the effort of Dermot Brereton to play on in the 89 grand final despite suffering 2 broken ribs and a ruptured kidney surely ranks up there with the toughest sporting performances. Rooster Mick at Goulburn.
And that happened at the first bounce.
Yeah, when they crashed into
Crashed straight through him, and he got up and he kept playing, spitting blood and kicked a couple of goals. What a play.
Zorba next, Michael Hawkes as well. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls on 1353 53.
I'm Sean Bindley. Scott Morrison is promising to get straight back to work after pulling off a miracle win. The Prime Minister has received a rapturous reception after defying the pundits in a come-from-behind victory. Hundreds of Liberal diehards who packed into the ballroom of the Sofitel Wentworth Hotel erupted in deafening delight when Mr Morrison entered the room around midnight. Mr Morrison, who became Prime Minister less than 9 months ago after the Liberal Party rolled Malcolm Turnbull, says he's hungry to get back to work.
Tonight is not about me, or it's not about even the Liberal Party. Tonight is about every single Australian who depends on their government to put them first. And so, friends, that is exactly what we are going to do. Our government will come together after this night and we will get back to work.
The result is a crushing defeat for the Labor Party, with opposition leader Bill Shorten announcing he will step down from the Labor leadership. A pair of familiar faces look likely to rejoin the Senate after being knocked out by the dual citizenship debacle that plagued the previous parliament. While the final Senate count will take some time, One Nation's Malcolm Roberts in Queensland and Jackie Lambie in Tasmania look likely to be returned to the Red Chamber. Meanwhile, controversial figure Fraser Anning has missed out on returning to the Senate. Scott Morrison's miracle election win has been cheered by conservatives in the US, and compared to Donald Trump's surprise 2016 presidential win when polls had predicted he would lose. US cable TV news channel Fox News described Morrison's win as a stunning victory. American political activist Pamela Geller trumpeted, "The people are taking back their countries from the totalitarian left." The New York Times has described how the Conservative victory also adds Australia to a growing list of countries that have shifted rightward through the politics of grievance, including Brazil, Hungary and Italy. A multi-vehicle crash has closed a major road in Brisbane's north with reports of a double fatality. Emergency services rushed to the incident on Lutwyche Road, Windsor, just before midnight. Queensland Fire and Emergency Services confirmed two people have died as a result of the incident. The Duke of Edinburgh has made a rare public appearance to join the Queen and other royals at the wedding of Lady Gabriella Windsor and financier Thomas Kingston, with the Duke of Sussex leaving wife Meghan and newborn son Archie at home to attend the ceremony. The US has reached a deal with Canada and Mexico to end tariffs on metal imports. Last year, the Trump administration slapped tariffs on Canadian and Mexican aluminium and steel, citing national security reasons. Air News Washington correspondent Giles Gibson has more.
In a joint statement with the US, Canada's government said all tariffs will be lifted within 2 days and announced a new monitoring system to prevent steel dumping in future. US President Donald Trump also spoke to Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on the phone on Friday, with Mr. Trudeau calling the end of the tariffs, quotes, pure good news. The agreement also removes one obstacle to the confirmation of the new United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, or USMCA. The trade deal, a replacement for the NAFTA agreement, needs to be ratified by lawmakers in all three countries before it goes into effect. Giles Gibson, Washington.
This is Air News. Rugby in the New South Wales Waratahs can approach the last throws of the Super Rugby finals with fresh confidence after another scandal failed to sink their title chances. Tolu Latu's World Cup selection prospects are in tatters, and the Waratahs' already controversial season took another hit over Rugby Australia's probe into the hooker for an alleged drink-driving offence, which threatened to derail their fighting 40-32 win against the Queensland Reds at Brisbane Suncorp Stadium last night. Yet, thanks to the reliable boot of Bernard Foley, some desperate try-line defence and some late scrum victories against the Reds' pack, the Waratahs have moved back to within a win of the top of the Australian Conference. Sometimes an AFL game is simply about securing the premiership points without worrying too much about impressing the fans. Essendon's arduous 7-point win over Fremantle was one of those times. Staring down the barrel of four straight losses, the Bombers were locked in a grim, error-riddled struggle before holding on for an 8-12-60 to 7-11-53 win at Marvel Stadium last night. Star recruit Dylan Scheel booted two late goals, his first for the club, during a pressure-packed final term, but the Dockers stormed home with the last three goals, only to fall agonisingly short. NRL and Parramatta coach Brad Arthur has refused to point the finger at George Jennings and Blake Ferguson for their backfield blunder during the 17-10 NRL loss at the hands of North Queensland. Jennings and Ferguson were responsible for the game-turning error, which allowed the Cowboys to come from a second-half deficit to claim a much-needed win last night. Australian Independent Radio News.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
At Myer's, save up to 50% off the original price of mattresses and ensembles by Sealy, Sleepmaker and Heritage, plus bonus delivery and removal. Exclusions and conditions apply. Shop Myer today. Avoid the city if you can. We've got a few issues. There's a bus broken down southbound on York Street, just past Margaret Street. Major road closures in the CBD and around Pyrmont for the half marathon this morning. That includes sections of the Western Distributor and the Carl Expressway. And Argyle Street is closed between Harrington and Lower Fort Streets while they set things up for Vivid Sydney. The Clarendon Homes Raise the Roof promotion on now. 31 luxury must-have upgrades for $4,990. Head to clarendon.com.au to find out more. T's and C's apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe.
First time, every time.
Is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3, or 2-1-3, or 1-3-2, or 2-3-1. The tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to S-Tab and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta. And coming soon to Liverpool. On the Big Sports Breakfast, Interstate Weather.
And weather today around the country, Sydney heading for a mostly sunny Sunday, top temperature of 23. Melbourne, similarly sunny, 21. Brisbane, a chance of a shower, 24. Perth, mostly sunny and 21 degrees. Adelaide, a possible thunderstorm and 22. The nation's capital, Canberra, mostly sunny, 19. A bit cool in Hobart, James, sunny day, 17 degrees. And it never changes up in Darwin this time of year. Mostly sunny, 32.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program, 1353 53. That's the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well. Lots of new listeners over the course of the last few weeks, given the wider area that we're going to. Obviously, word of mouth across New South Wales as well, building 0419 767. What are you laughing at?
Have you got evidence of said word of mouth?
Anecdotal.
Okay.
0419 767. 272. We're talking about the great games of rugby league. I've got to mention, I watched the end of the Swans versus Roos match last night. I'll tell you what, they were doing it comfortably, the Swannies, and it was, oh, well, here we go. They're back. Next thing, they got a little tight down there in Tasmania.
It was less than a kick in it. It was 77-72.
And a bit of controversy at the end, too. Holding the jumper down and all that sort of stuff. And
Did you see Tommy Stewart for Geelong towards the end of their match?
I haven't seen it. I'm trying to see it.
Mark of the year. And he landed on his feet and he's got a massive smile on his face. And they go up to the coach's box and Scott's got a huge smile. And everyone just thought it was funny, but anyway.
One thing I did see was Cameron Ling. I don't know Cameron Ling.
He used to play for the Cats.
I understand that, yeah. I understand that too.
Okay.
I tell you what, no one has more fun in the media than him. He's just out on the field, just saying, "Oh yeah," and there's blokes walking past you. "Oh yeah, bad luck, mate. Sorry about that." very, very funny. Hey, we've got some important issues that we're going to get through with Zorba, Jack DeBell, and of course Israel Folau. But Quinton Ponga and the passing of so sad, such a tragic circumstance. Aged only 48 years of age, rated number 149. He's provided our talk topic today, and that is tough players across all codes. So the Wingman Beer and the Wings book is available for that. And by the way, we've got the Event Cinemas quiz coming up shortly as well. And just to give you an update from
Last week.
Yeah, Dave won.
Dave's a good man.
So you are now leading 10-9. You are now leading.
Okay, your mini break's been eroded.
It has. Mm. Very, most definitely. This man was tough and played in a tough era. Yeah. Zorba. Interested to get his thoughts on a host of issues across the game of rugby league. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. Can I reiterate what you just said about Quinton Pongia? I shared an office with Quinton for the last 2 years before I... retired from the Seagulls last October, and he went through some terrible times in that period, but he kept turning up for work as a welfare officer there, and much respected.
Yeah.
We spoke a lot about his golden years in Canberra, and it was shocking to see him fade away to the point where he passed away this weekend. So very sad.
Tragedy is misused a lot in sport, not on this occasion. It is so sad. So, again, condolences to all of Quinton's family.
And he was tough. You were right. You know, this morning, you know, you spoke about tough players in the game, and he was one. But gee, there's been plenty of them, hasn't there? I remember as a young forward coming up against Kevin Ryan, and I didn't know why he was nicknamed Candos until I tried to tackle him. That was a brand of cement, I think.
Yes, it was.
He was sitting, and then Noel Kelly in my second game, I made the mistake of collecting a Western Suburbs winger high at Pratt and Park, and Noel come up to me and said, "I've got a story for you." And I thought, what a terrific bloke, because I've only just started at the Sydney Sun. And I said, "Yeah, what's it about?" He shared, "It's about your funeral arrangements." And I was warned by Dick Thornett and Ken Thornett that I was playing at Parra at the time, that to not turn my back. And I managed to do that until about a minute from full time, and I was jogging to a scrum, and I felt this tap on the shoulder, and as I turned my head, I realised I shouldn't have, and I woke up in the dressing room.
Yeah.
The UA champion of Queensland had delivered another blow. But John O'Neill, who I played with, Terry Randall.
Yeah. I was going to mention Terry Randall.
Jeff Toovey, pound for pound, one of the toughest of all time. You know, little man, but played like a giant.
Yeah. You know, fair call. Hey, so we mentioned earlier, Jimmy and I, about the woes out at Penrith, and when a team gets into a rut like the Panthers are, how do they get out of it?
Well, I know you're hurting. They've now lost six games in a row. They are lucky. They are two wins from 10 games.
You're right.
They beat Newcastle 16-14. It was very, very lucky, but even luckier to beat the West Tigers 9-8. Mm. So they could be none from 10 under Coach Ivan Cleary. The entire team is out of form on what we know they are capable of. They are making schoolboy errors, colliding with each other under high kicks, lacking in any intensity. They're slow and predictable from dummy half. Cleary and Maloney are dying on the vine because of the slow service and the play the ball. I said after two rounds that Sione Katoa was slow and predictable at nine. I was wrong. He's snail-like. He is snail-like for an NRL. We saw on Friday night.
He got caught with a ball, didn't he?
With a ball at dummy half, just reaching around. He stands up and passes the ball. He's still in the side. Mm. Why? What price at the start of the season for Penrith to be two wins from 10?
Yeah.
And Nathan Cleary to have not scored 50 points in 10 games. Cleary has scored just 47 points. Top point scorer Latrell Mitchell is 115. 11 players of top 50, including Daly Cherry Evans, has missed the last three games. Ivan Cleary doesn't thrive when he's in the spotlight, and he's certainly under pressure greatly at the moment. I know his job is safe there at Penrith, but how safe are the officials that made some monumental decisions in the last 12 months?
It's a very expensive exercise when you've got a five-year contract and you're in year one of that if you want to make a change. I thought Ivan's press conference was a concern, given the fact he said, "Well, we have no answers." Even if you have no answers, you don't tell people.
You've got to give some.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not going to give confidence to anybody.
No one.
I mean, the players lack confidence.
Yes.
The fans are booing them off at half time. Mm,
yes.
And he's saying, "I've got no answers." Well, mate, that's what you get the big dollars for.
That's right.
I like Ivan Cleary. This is the first time in his coaching career that he's really come under a spotlight for poor, consistent performances, and he has to find a way.
Oh, all right. Nathan Cleary, we heard from Wayne Bennett last night, who weighed into it and said, look,
I agree with it.
You can't pick them. So who do you pick? And can I ask, who do you pick at right centre for New South Wales at this point, Zorb?
Okay, well, look, South don't leave the competition for nothing. So New South Wales should go for three of their brilliant spine for the Blues. Damien Cook at nine.
Mm.
Adam Reynolds at seven, Cody Walker at six, and for the right centre, I'd bring back James Roberts straight away. If he's not injured, I'd bring him back. If there's an injury crowd over him, I'd play Josh Morris and be safe. But I would go for Roberts, and I reckon that if Roberts plays in that blockbuster of a game, probably one of the best games of the year on Friday night, what a battle it was.
Yeah.
There were times when both sides were out on their feet, and Jimmy the Jet's speed would have been a massive advantage. I know they won the game, but they won it with a little metre run from, or dive from dummy half, from probably a great mid-season buy for them in James Seguiaro, because they've had problems at dummy half as well, but they've done something about it. He's been hit in the backside by a rainbow. Seabolt to be able to get a player of that class after 10 weeks when their hooker goes down, and the hooker really would have had to face the fact that he was not what they wanted from dummy half, and he got spoiled last year with Damien Cook, don't forget, and he wants a running dummy half. Seguiaro fills that bill, and I've got to say, the kid that he replaced in the game on Friday night, I thought he was outstanding for the Brisbane Broncos too, and he's a player, Jake Turpin, that you know they can use in a duo situation and be much more of a threat.
As is their halfback, that little Ted, and he's going well. Hey, Zorb, so you're going with the South Sydney club combination. Where does that leave Luke Keary?
Luke, unfortunately, he doesn't make my side. He probably will get in, but I can't see why you would split up Reynolds and the best 5'8 in the competition, I think, Cody Walker.
Mm.
Cody Walker has just been superb in every game this season. I think he's a must to be in the side now. If we're going to go on form, and that should be the only criteria. What happened last year, it's rubbish about last year. It means nothing. Form. That's what he picked it on last year. Well, go and do it again, Freddie. Don't put yourself in a situation you can't get out of and then have to make changes after round one. They are all out of form. They are the worst combination in the NRL just about at the moment. That's saying something.
Yeah.
They're coming last, and they're coming last for a reason. Sure, their forwards aren't firing, but they're not doing anything to get them out of it either.
Payne Haas get picked?
Oh, Payne Haas. He's going to be exactly that for Queensland in the fast-approaching Game 1 in State of Origin. The fans at Suncorp won't look forward to the damage that Haas can unleash in a sky-blue jersey. Blues coach Brad Fittler has to have penciled in the young forward as being ready for Origin after his, well, colossal performance in the Broncos' hard-earned 15-10 win over the Roosters on Friday night. What a game. He was outstanding. But another young player in the game perplexed me. How quiet was Liesl Luttrell down the left-hand side for the Roosters? He didn't look 100% to me. He didn't look happy. He didn't look as though he wanted to be there. And I hope the suggestions that there's some problems in the background with Luttrell Mitchell at the Roosters aren't true. In talks of him maybe going to South Sydney, I find that would not be right. I'm thinking that it can't be right, but the way he played the other night, there was something wrong.
I hope that's not. A couple of weeks ago, we were lauding him as being the best player in the competition, and I still think he is.
Yeah. He scored 20-odd points
exactly,
in a game, and he just looked. But he just didn't look happy. I mean, the kid's on top of the world. He's one of the best players in the game. He's getting well paid for a game he loves, and he should be just out there smiling and doing his thing.
He
didn't make a break. He didn't go looking for the ball when they were in trouble, when they needed him because they were down on troops. It's the sort of game that Luttrell can grab by the scruff of the neck, but he didn't do it.
Exactly. We've seen some great games this round so far, Zorb, and it started back on Thursday night, the Storm and Tigers. And I reckon the Storm have a new star.
Oh, don't they what? I mean, Billy Slater's one of the greatest fullbacks in the modern era, and it's unlikely the Storm will find a player of his status, but they have certainly found an explosive excitement machine in young Ryan Pappenhausen. Mm. He was simply brilliant at the back of the Storm against the West Tigers. His speed and acceleration in attack, but also in defence, where he cleaned up behind his in-goal area with just speed coming from 15 metres away in a split second to defuse situations. His defence is really good. He adds plenty to Melbourne's attack. The try he scored was sensational. Just when we thought they were losing some luster, they produce Pappenhausen, and the result of that is another very good fullback, and probably a fullback that was going to be in the position had he not been injured in the pre-season and early on, is Scott Drinkwater.
Yep.
He's looking for another club, and he'll be playing in Sydney next year. Young kid from Cherryville, he's got all the ability in the world as well.
Where's he playing next year?
I don't know. You know, I understand he's coming back to Sydney and wants to play with a Sydney club.
So where's he playing next year?
He'll be playing fullback somewhere.
All right, well, watch that one.
You're not letting Zorba off the hook there, are you, Jim?
Well, it won't be at Manly if you think that. I mean,
no, well, they've got a bloke who plays fullback, don't they?
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
He's a player.
He's, Jack DeBellin, the fallout. Mm. What's your take on it?
Well, I'm really disappointed in the Rugby League Players Association. They're a rusty rifle. What a pathetic support they've been to one of their own. Now, I've said from the outset, if DeBellin is guilty, he deserves to go and get the book thrown at him.
Yes.
In the law of the land. Mm. But until then, he deserves the presumption of innocence.
Yes.
And he's got to have his day in court. And I thought that's what the Rugby League Players Association would stand for. I know the players in the game want to have that as one of their base marks, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
There was no support. He's been left to fight these serious charges on his own. We've read that it's going to cost him a lot of money. Well, we all knew that would be, and he's still saying every time he gets the opportunity that he is innocent of the charges.
Yes.
We must allow him to have his day in court. What has his union done? His workplace union has done nothing to assist. Very unimpressed by the Rugby League Players Association boss, Ian Prendergast, in all this. I actually thought he was a better performer than is shown in this, and I'm surprised some of the senior players in the game that have a real pull in that association haven't pulled him into the line and insisted that they openly show some support for another player.
Zappa this week, by the way, concur wholeheartedly. Zappa for this week?
Well, my Zappa for this week is going to be, I'm going to go to Mutchie, and I'm going to look for Mitchell Pearce to continue his great form.
Ooh.
I'm going to go for Newcastle to upset St George, and the fullback duel there between Dufty and Ponga will be special. Mm. So all the people listening in Mudgee, get along to Willow Oval today.
Yes.
And have a look at these two young sensational number ones, worth the price of admission on that beautiful surface there. They will fly, the two little fellas. And down at I still call it Shark Park, I don't know what it's called these days, Will ScoMo Show. That's the big...
He might.
I reckon he might.
Winners are grinners.
Great friend to go and shake a few hands and smile. And Seagulls have won 15 of their last 17 games against Cronulla. That's a massive record. They're under strength, but they're playing with great heart. I think Desi's boys will take them with a start, and I'll give you a great show today.
Plus 4.5 Manly, get your $1.90. And you're just going to go head-to-head, Newcastle?
Well, who's the start there, Newcastle?
Newcastle's got the plus 2.5.
Yeah, they got the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking them.
Right, plus 2.5. I thought you might have taken them head-to-head at $2.10.
No, I think they'll win anyway, so we'll take the 2.5.
All right, take the 2.5 and we'll take the $1.90. Oh, now that we've cleared that up. Good on you, Zorb.
By the year, after 10 rounds, I'm going for Ryan Madison. Superb 10-match start of his career at the Tigers. Big, strong and versatile. Congratulations, the Tigers. They should be in the top four. They're the unluckiest side in the comp, but they're much improved under Michael Maguire.
Could be 7-3.
Yeah.
They're 5-5. Yeah. No. Well,
and Madison's been great.
Excellent. Excellent. Good on you. And as have you this morning,
as always. Zorb.
Well done.
See you, boys.
See you, Pete.
There he is. He's off. 1353-53. That's the open line number if you want to give us a response to that.
What's your two tips today?
Zorba today.
No, yours. Yours.
Mine's. Oh, I thought we'll release them a little bit later.
Oh.
I think the Dragons can win in a tight one, and I think the Sharks will win. So I'm going head-to-head with Zorb. A break and back with more.
It's Harry Angel that wins the July Cup.
Harry Angel, the horse that can fly. The world's top-rated sprinter in 2017. Emphatic winner of the Haydock Sprint Cup and the Group 1 July Cup. A precocious son by Europe's leading speed sire, Dark Angel. Harry Angel, the fast outcross sire we've been waiting for. Now standing at Darley in the Hunter Valley for $22,000 including GST. Start with a Darley Stallion and the rest will follow.
Coringle Stud introduces the outstanding stallion prospect Prize Icon to stand his first season in 2019. Prize Icon won or placed in all seven of his starts at two, including winning the listed Fern Hill and Group 1 Champagne Stakes before an emphatic victory in the VRC Derby. He's a winner of more than $2.1 million in prize money and a clone of his champion sire more than ready. Prize Icon will stand at an introductory fee of $11,000 and all-inclusive packages are available. For details, visit coringlestud.com.
Hancock's Bloodstock have a stunning rising two-year-old colt by Hot Young Sire Done Deal. Eight stakes winners already, including Your Deal, Castle Vecchio, Mr. Inevitable and Transact, the trainer Joe Pride at Warwick Farm, the dam five-time winner Tijon by Costa del Lago, second dam stakes winner Princess Polona. 5% share, $3,800 and $200 a month covers costs. 2.5% shares available. Bob's qualified free replacement offer. For a PDS, call Shelley Hancock's 03-5274-9171 or see the website hancockshancox.com.au. AFSL 227365.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The Tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to S-Tab and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
It's Vega moving up on the outside of Primitivo. Vega gets the head in front from Primitivo, who's trying to come back. Vega just in front from Primitivo. Drives back. Oh, close. Close. It's come back here, Primitivo and Vega.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And, of course, that was the call of James McDonald's 100th Sydney winner for the season, Jim, the first jockey to achieve that feat since Darren Beedman rode 164 winners. That's staggering, back in 2007. So he's had a fantastic comeback year, James McDonald.
It's an incredible turnaround, isn't it?
Yeah.
A great story. So well done. Congratulations to him. Now, we've got the Preakness coming up in about 18 minutes' time, mm-hmm. Raymond. Have you got a little tip for the listeners there?
There's no Triple Crown at stake, of course, because there's no maximum security.
No.
In the first over line, there's no Country House who was given the derby by the stewards. So look, maybe Bourbon Wars topical, Jim.
Oh, hey? Tell you what, wouldn't that attract some bets down there?
Exactly. I tell you what, though, one horse that really caught my attention yesterday was Desert Lord. Team Hawks had a great season, and they might have unearthed a pretty promising horse here in Desert Lord. Co-trainer Michael Hawks is on the line. Good morning, Michael. Congratulations. And what struck me was the sectional times this horse ran yesterday. Times don't lie. He absolutely flew over the last 600 and looked to do it with apparent ease. Tommy Berry had the opportunity to ease down late. He's an exciting horse, Michael.
Morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy. He is an exciting horse, and yesterday's performance showed that he just was really on his mark. And, you know, he's putting together a little bit of a reputation or a good, you know, racecraft, I suppose, with the wins that he's putting in. But he's just still learning, you know. Mm. He's just still a baby, Ray. And honestly, times for us, it's not about the times. Yes, everyone loves times and how you do things, but it's about the horse. And once he got into the rhythm, probably halfway through the race, I was starting to cringe a little bit when I know the horse is like a freewheeling sort of horse. You're better off going a half a length quicker than a half a length slower. And when those two horses crossed Tommy, he started to get the head up a bit, and I just started to cringe there. But they did put the speed on a little bit more, probably from the 700, which helped him to get into his gear. And the last thing I said to Tommy was, you don't win at the 400. I don't want you going before the corner. You win at the finish post. And he had to go through his gears, and when he did, it was quite exciting to see.
Yeah, a bit like Ray, if he gets distracted, you know, can really lose focus. We've all seen that, Michael, I suppose. So is it a surprise to the stable? Not, you know, I know you don't really want to talk about those times, but the times and the magnitude of the win?
Do you want to know the truth, Jimmy? I wouldn't even have the faintest idea what times he's run.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, we've
got them here if you want them.
I'll tell you, Michael, 600, this is Desert Lord individually, 633.3. I think only one horse broke 34 all day outside Desert Lord. Then his last two 200-metre sectionals, he broke 11 seconds in both, 21.62 overall from the four. So that's motoring, Michael.
Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me, Ray, with the performance we put in. But as I said, you know, if you go back a couple of preps ago or three preps ago, look, he's a well-bred colt. He's by High Chaparral at a Nova Star. Now, anyone who's listening doesn't know who Nova Star is. She won a Winter Stakes Group 1 in Queensland. I think it was Kelly Schweeter trained her. She was a great race mare. And, you know, when you get these well-bred horses, it's imperative that you keep their mind active. And, look, there's no one better than we feel that us, that we try and make stallions because we love making colts. But when the horse or the product starts to get a bit tempted in other ways, you've got to make that decision. And the problem this day and age, and we keep saying it, you know, people don't like gelding horses because they want to try and have that $40 million colt. Well, that's great, and that's aspirations to have. But here's a perfect product that if we didn't geld this horse, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing now. And he's still doing things wrong.
Yeah.
He still wants to lay in. He did last prep and the prep before. You know, his trial was very good on Monday, and he's come through and he's gone to the races and he's done it. But as I said in a tweet last night, his racecraft, he's still learning it. And that's, he's trying to enhance that. So the future is bright for him. I think he's only had 10 starts, and I think he's been out of place since twice, I think, from memory. So he's kind of a horse that he's definitely going somewhere. But I've got to give, you know, Steve Dillon and all his owners in the horse credit, because if they didn't listen to us, they wouldn't be in this position now.
What next, Michael?
Well, he's pulled out really good, actually, this morning. So, honestly, he's still in the Stradbroke. You know, I know a lot of horses, everyone says they're heading that way, and Stradbroke and Brisbane, but we feel the best is yet to come. We probably may roll the dice and just sort of half sit back and wait. The only problem is his rating is low.
Yes.
And he's going through the grade. So will he make the Stradbroke? Probably not. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. So whether we run him the week before, that is obviously in the Kingsford Smith, which is a Group 1.
Right.
You know, he's taking on the big boys. But once again, it's all about trying to go through your grades. And especially with this bloke, he's still learning it. So if he doesn't get there this year, unfortunately, there's always next year. But you never say never with us, and we'll just bob along. And, you know, probably this prep, he's had a freshen up too. So he's coming off those runs at Randwick and Kensington that he won. So, look, less is more, but he's going to be a bright spark in the future. That's for
sure. Hey, Michael, before we let you go, can I just ask about a horse that won during the week? And I know it's easy to get carried away with provincial form, particularly just out of a two-year-old maiden, but what Exceed Dance did at Wyong last Thursday, took a pretty special horse. He gave the leaders, I don't know how many lengths on the turn. His finishing speed was extraordinary.
Yeah, look, he's another bright future horse, Ray. I've been telling Peter Orton for a while, to be fair, look, he's the right horse. We've just got to be patient. He went Shinsor a couple of times. Once again, he's still a baby as well, even though he's won at two. And I've been pushing to try and get more of these two-year-old races in the city, because not that I didn't want to go to Wyong, we probably had to go to Wyong for the race. And I said to them before, it's probably not his track.
Yeah.
If anyone hasn't watched the video, they probably should, because he was probably 1 out of 10 chances of where he finished to be winning, let alone hitting the line like he did. And last thing I said to Tommy again was, look, as long as he's rocking home, can he win? Yes, he can. But if he does, it'll be extraordinary. But I just want him flashing home, and that he did. So once again, you know, he's pulled up good. It depends how he does this week. He'll only have probably one more. If he has that, he may go to the paddock. But once again, he's going to be some three-year-old. So, you know, we've got a lot of nice young talent coming through, and anyone that knows our stable, we're pretty patient, and that's what we try and do, and we try and get results. But, no, he's another bright horse coming through, right?
Exactly.
Speaking of patient, Michael, just one more before we let you go, and this for the listeners. And when I say listeners, I mean Ray and Tanya. Can we get a Vetter update, please?
I got one yesterday off Michael.
Yeah, but we did it.
No, Ray spoke to me yesterday, actually. He's still out. We're going to give him a good spell. You know, once again, he's a gelding. He's still learning his racecraft. He probably went a bit too hard and then sort of deteriorated through his prep from there. So we just want to give him a good spell. We have 2 or 3 months off. He's a gelding. There's no rush. I know Ray's not a rushing sort of person, so I think he's pretty fine with that.
Yeah, okay. And Tanya's nodding her head too, mate. Yeah. So all's good in the world, mate. So.
No problem with the invoices being paid there, Michael. They're okay. Mate, they're on time.
They're one of our best.
Can you imagine the drama? Juno, if she's not paying Billy, you can just, don't you want to go there?
Oh, I'd love it. I'd love it. They'd have a field day, the other mob,
wouldn't
they?
What? Yeah.
Good on you, Michael. Well done, and appreciate your time this morning, mate.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael Hawks here from the Hawks Yard, too. A pressure all round from some of the owners at different stages. So I can imagine what it must be like. 13,
I feel
15,
sorry
15,
for poor old Peter Snowden. How many times you ring Pete during the week?
Only the 3 times this week. So
times.
There we go. Let's go to callers on the line. Phil is there. G'day, Phil.
How you going, boys?
Morning,
really
Phil.
Really well, mate.
We've got a couple of toughest man I reckon in the league is Rambo Ronnie Gibbs.
Rambo Ronnie Gibbs.
Oh, what a legend. What a legend.
Wasn't he great to watch, Phil? Gee, he's great to watch.
Yeah, he was a great double-A boy, mate. Good on himself. And,
that's it.
And the other one is Jared McCracken, plays for the Bulldogs.
He was tough. He was a hard man out in the centres, wasn't he, Jared McCracken?
He had equal parts toughness and madness,
yeah.
Jared McCracken. They didn't call him Crackers.
Whatever happened to Jared McCracken?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
He was
a good tough man.
He had the court case because of the spear tackle on Marcus Bye or...
I can't remember now, but didn't he have some business issues?
Yes, he had. But very, very... Tough footballer.
Good call, Phil.
Good one, Phil. Good one.
Okay,
By the way, we've had Tom give us some clarification around Colin Milburn. So we had earlier, I think it was Peter, who told us about... Well, he had a car accident that caused him to lose an eye May 1969. He played his last test match in March 1969, returned to first-class cricket 73-74, but he achieved little beyond reducing his career batting average.
Yeah,
so.
4 years out of the game.
Noah of Petorti, though, he lost his sight in his right eye at the age of 20, taught himself to bat with one eye, made his test debut less than 6 months later.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Great clarification. Thank you very much, Tom, for that one, Tom. Adrian's on the line. G'day, Adrian.
Hey, guys. How are you going? I think, was that Stephen Kearney with Jared McCracken?
Stephen Kearney. It was involved in the tackle. Yeah. And I'm trying to think who the tackle was on.
Well, I think it was on McCracken, wasn't it?
Was it on McCracken?
Yeah, I think, yeah. He injured his neck, I think.
That's right. Oh, Marcus Bye might have been involved. Melbourne Storm players, Stephen Kearney and Marcus Bye.
No, I think, I don't know. The incident with Marcus Bye, I think that's where he sort of slashed his arm open or something when he hit the advertising boarding or something. That's what I remember with him, but anyway.
Yeah, Jimmy's checking McCracken's neck
there. And just on that situation with... Ray and Tanya, the headline is they sort of failed to make their payments. What about Doubting Thomas?
Oh, Adrian, you've got a career as a sub-editor, haven't you?
Yeah, that's true. That just sprung to mind. Big photo of the two of them, Doubting Thomas. Go into it.
Never want to go there, Adrian, I can tell you. So.
Yeah, don't leave yourself open, Ray.
Correct, 100%.
Have you got a point you want to get to, Adrian? Or?
Yeah, eventually, yeah. Just on the Broncos, if anybody comes out again and says they've got a weak roster, fair dinkum, I just couldn't believe the people that said that. They got one of the best rosters in the comp by miles. And I reckon, if I'm Freddie, Tevita Pangai Jr., Payne Haas and Matt Lodge are all in my 17, and David Fifita's definitely for Queensland. Why he doesn't start matches surprises me.
Yeah.
What about that time when Latrell Mitchell blindsided him?
Oh.
He took the hit, then he ran 30, 40 metres.
He's a beast.
He's an incredible athlete. But that's what I reckon. Jimmy and Ray, what do you think about the Broncos probably providing that many forwards? I'd have them all in.
Yeah, no, well, I've got to give my colleague a bit of a rap here, Adrian, because he said at the start of the season that the Broncos' young talent will take them a long, long way, and that's why Wayne Bennett was so desperate to stay, because he could see this talent that was coming through. You picked it 6 months ago, Jim.
And a lot of people were saying that, so I wasn't alone in doing that. Last week you weren't here, and I said they were $2.15 to make the semi-finals at TAB.
It's a good bet, isn't it?
Mm. I said, just get on. Mm. Just get on.
Responsible gambling. Here.
Oh, of course. Mm. But if you've got two houses, put one of them on. No.
You can't say things like that.
But they're now $2.
People listen to you, James.
They've just got such a... No, I'm not... They're probably the win on Friday night against the Roosters was the more deciding factor.
No, they have got a deep roster and some really promising young players. They're just going to get better and better in the years to come, aren't they?
Well, I know there are people that watch this very closely. They consider David Fifita to be a superstar in the making. I totally agree with that. And they think Payne Haas could be the greatest forward that's ever lived.
That is some sort of a statement, James. Who's saying that?
I don't say it lightly.
As if you're saying...
Now, learned people say that Payne Haas could be the greatest forward the game's ever seen.
Jeez. Put the kid under pressure.
He's 19, and you've seen what he's doing with limited preparation. It's just unbelievable. 13-53-53. It was Stephen Kearney and Marcus Bye were involved in that tackle on Jared McCracken.
Yeah.
And he was a winner in the New South Wales Supreme Court, Jared McCracken. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to ask people to call in. And we want them to do that for the Event Cinemas quiz. Just a score update, Ray.
Is it 10-9, my
way? Yeah, it is. Mentioned that half an hour ago. 13-53-53. Call now to be a part of the Event Cinemas quiz.
Meet Tom. Tom owns a building company. Business is good, but he doesn't have the budget all the time for remedial management. Then, Tom found CAT Checkpoint, a remedial management system for builders and their subcontractors. With CAT Checkpoint, Tom's team can easily do inspections with minimal or no typing, monitor progress from the comfort of their desks, eliminate dots and endless lists, view subcontractor performance stats, and more, all for an affordable price.
Visit catcloud.biz for details.
You've won the plumbing contract. Now, all you need is to hire the extra staff and the equipment to deliver the project. So, you call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. We've helped thousands of small business owners get ahead with loans of up to $250,000. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Attention ladies, Dynamic Syndications with Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott proudly offer this ladies-only ownership syndicate. Bred to be early and quick, we have a superb cult to aim at the rich Magic Millions women's bonus. By exceeding Excel, the speed machine is the world's best two-year-old sire. From Everidge, she was a two-year-old stakes winner and won three races at two. At only $8,750 a share, sorry lads, this is just for the ladies. For info, visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Hi, I'm Lane Beachley. When it comes to recycling, there aren't always easy answers. But when it comes to recycling printer cartridges, most Australians know what to do, thanks to Cartridges for Planet Ark. That's why we've already recycled 40 million cartridges, or enough to fill 80 Olympic swimming pools. To find your nearest cartridge collection box, or to order one for your workplace, search Cartridges for Planet Ark and get involved today.
Stolen. Lillard stolen by Iguodala. Took it out of his hands. Curry from half court. It's up. It's over. Golden State survives and wins game two.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. I'll have a chat with Gerard Daffy from TAB very shortly. Time now for the Event Cinemas Quiz, the third instalment of the adrenaline-fueled action franchise John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. Is now in cinema. Strut into luxury with Gold Class, plunge into epicness with 4DX, or launch into Max with VMAX. Head over to eventcinemas.com.au to grab your tickets now. And that's exactly what we're going to give away today, a double pass of VMAX tickets. Let's go to... we haven't worked out who's one and two, right?
Whatever you want, Skip.
I'll go one with our Queensland contestant. I know you like your even numbers. Shane!
Hey, Jimmy, how you going?
Very well, mate. You're in Queensland.
Queensland, beautiful Sunshine Coast.
Sunshine Coast. Oh, nice part of the world, Shane. Lovely part of the world.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go. I need you to win today, Shane.
I'll see what I can do for you, mate.
First time I think I've said that for a Queenslander, but anyway.
I'm a former Nova Caspian, though, so.
And there we go.
What can Roosters winger and maths genius Ryan Hall do in 60 seconds? Where on earth do they get this stuff?
Well... solve a Rubik's Cube.
You're kidding.
That is unbelievable.
Shane.
Hey, was that a guess?
That is a guess.
That's unbelievable. I tell you what, isn't that like a beast? He's the English winger, isn't he, Ryan Hall?
32 test matches, 26 tries.
He's huge.
Yeah, he's a star. He's a star.
He's a huge physical.
He's a big barrel-chested bloke, isn't he?
Rubik's Cube, well done.
Hang on, speaking of stars, yeah. Shane, one from
brilliant.
One. Question two. Who did Nick Kyrgios call this week his polar opposite and super salty? Was it Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, or Roger Federer?
Oh, I think it was Rafa.
Mm. He was. He didn't miss anybody. That podcast, he teed off.
Oh, Nick. Jeez. Anyway. Shane, question three. Which team will not be playing in the English Premier League next year? Was it A, Norwich City, B, Leeds, or C, Sheffield United?
Oh, I think Leeds got beat the other day.
Shane, I don't care what people say about Queenslanders. You're all right, mate.
Ex-Novacastrian, that's
right. Oh, well, that explains a lot then. Three from three, mate. Stay on the line. Very hard to beat.
Leeds, it was hard to take. I think Michael's on the line. Michael, good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, terrific, mate. Hey, I only got bad news for you, mate. We can't afford to make a mistake, Michael, so we need all three. Here we go, mate. Best of luck. Question number one, who has NBA star Ben Simmons announced he'll play for in August?
I got no idea. Raptors? I don't know.
It was to the Australian Boomer, which is big news. Bad luck, Michael. It was tough going up against 3-0.
Thanks for being a part of the show, Michael, albeit very small, mate. See you later, pal. Packham. Shano, you there?
Oh, I was good today.
He was very good.
Sorry, no, I should be more modest.
No, Dave.
We were talking about self-belief earlier, weren't we?
Was it with Robbie Dolan?
Yeah, but he was... Yeah, we'll talk about it later, but yeah, he was very good.
What's that?
He was very good, Robbie Dolan. He believed he could win every race yesterday and goes out with that attitude every time he goes on a horse. And I thought, good on him. You need to believe in yourself.
Of course
that's
you
how
do.
You succeed at the top level.
Shane, did you believe that you would win today?
No, it was a dead guess. The first question was a dead guess. So.
I don't care, mate.
That was outstanding.
I don't know whether there's VMAX on the Sunshine Coast or not. Doesn't matter. We're sending them up to you, Shano. Stay on the line, mate. We'll get all those details.
Awesome. Thanks, boys.
All right, no problem.
Thanks for the call, Shane.
And tell your mates about the program too. We need listeners. 135353 is the open line number. Speaking of listeners, Jared Daffy's
he's a good blues man, Jared. I think he is.
No, he's not. He's from Warrnambool. Actually, who does Jared Daffy go for in the state of Oregon?
I think he's a Carlton.
New South Wales Blues.
Actually, I think he's a Queenslander when it comes to the origin.
We'll ask him. Why don't we clear it up? Yeah. He's on the line. Hello, Jared.
Morning, boys. I'm a Victorian. Surely you don't have to ask who I support.
It's the Blue Boys, isn't it?
Queensland.
No. Victorians hate New South Wales.
Yes.
No, I'm talking about Carlton, sorry.
I've kind of moved on from there.
Last
week it was West Coast.
No, I can understand your logic there, Jared. So
Geelong.
Yeah. And you're a Maroons man of the origin, eh?
Yeah, but I think we're up against it. Although that's not a bad thing, Ray. We've won it before. We're outsiders. $2.75, actually. $1.45 New South Wales. It's not
a
far
song
away.
They sing every year, and up they come to the Queensland.
You've had three.
Never write them off.
Three immortals in waiting. You still be outsiders. You're the
really.
Best. You're
really.
The best. Now, we've got Pimlico very shortly, too, mate. So we might have to jump to that in the middle of this chat. But
it'll take forever to load up.
I can tell you in that improbable, which we did see go around 2 weeks ago as one of the favourites. It's a drifting favourite here, boys. It's been 290 out to 340 now. Mm. But there's a couple of back. Bourbon War.
Go, you Bourbon War.
$10 into 6.
Ooh.
Is that your money, Jim?
And no. Owendale, 12 into 750. So maybe Bourbon War might be the one there, number two.
You know what's happening? Everyone who's on track goes, hey, Bourbon War,
exactly,
what a great name for a resource.
Is that like Who Shot the Barman?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, the old once-a-year punters.
That's right. All right, what about the remaining couple of games in the National Rugby League, mate?
Well, we've got... St George Illawarra today, $1.75. There's pretty good support for Newcastle here, 220 into 210. A little line there of 2.5 points in favour of the Dragons at plus, or that minus is $2, the plus $1.80. And betting hasn't really moved on the second game. Manly have got a good record. That might be keeping their punters interested here. Cronulla, $1.55. Manly at $2.50. A line there of 4.5 points.
And three games to complete the AFL. And is it worth me going out to watch the Blue Boys this afternoon, mate?
Maybe if you take the plus 38. That always keeps it interesting. Port Adelaide, $1.16. Gold Coast, $5.20. The line there, 34.5. Huge betting game, Richmond and Hawthorn. Richmond have had the wood on Hawthorn. Of course, they ousted them in the final series last year. But the money is with Hawthorn. They've been 225 into 215. Richmond, $1.72. A small line there of 4.5 points. And the Blue Boys, well, I did say 38.5 start, Ray, and to win that game, Giants, you would expect them to win. They're $1.12 and $6.20 for Carlton.
Not enough.
What'd you say?
Something in my throat. Mate, we've got to go to Pimlico.
It's ages away.
Are we ages away?
Yeah, they'll take forever to load up.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
We're watching it here, guys, all under control. USPGA, is it all over?
Hang on just a minute, Jerry. Oh, no, as you were.
Well, under normal circumstances, Ray, you'd say $1.05 pot would probably win, but you saw what happened last night.
Yeah, it's true. the poor guy had the million on Labor.
What price was ScoMo, just out of interest?
$7 yesterday when the polls opened.
$7?
Yeah, massive odds in the field of two. Anyway, Brooks Koepka, well, I can't see how he can be beaten unless he doesn't play tomorrow. He's $1.05. then out to $26 for Dustin Johnson, $81 for Luke List. So I guess there'll be interest in three balls, etc., which will be open pretty shortly. But that's as short as I can remember in a major.
And they're still on the course, aren't they? Are they still on the course, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think
Kepka's at the 16th, and he's there. He is. Yeah,
he's still a million in front.
Yeah, he's still six in front of Dustin Johnson.
Hmm.
A-League final, Perth, can the Sydney FC upset Perth Glory?
I think they can. There's been money for them. In 90 minutes, we've got Perth at 237, draw 350, 290. 166 markets on this one, boys, and one of those is whoever wins the final. So in normal time, which is what I've just said, that includes the draw, extra time or a penalty shootout. And Sydney FC, 225 into 215 there. There was one bet of 5,000 at 225 and another of 8,000 at 215. So 215 Sydney FC, $1.70 Perth Glory. Of course, there'll be live betting on that one. Gets underway at 6.30 tonight.
Shreddy market starting to take shape. And a big announcement on Friday with Tab having Santa Ana Lane, the $5 favourite, running around for it in the Everest.
Well, I reckon if you took a straw poll and asked 100 race people, racing media, etc., which horse would you want in the Everest? I reckon 99 of them would say Santa Ana Lane. And it's the Tab nomination now, so that's fantastic. It's favourite, $5. Osborne Bull, $7. Pierrata back from the shortest retirement in history. It's at $8. And Classique Legend at $9. And just on the Stratty, well, Zoo Style, I don't know whether he'll be there, but another win yesterday. He's the $6 favourite from Tie Zone for Toby Edmonds. He was impressive at $8. Then $11 Plague Stone, the Bostonian Trekking. So it's got a little bit to play out, that one, the Stradbroke, which is on in, 3 weeks' time. So at the moment, Zoo Style, a $6 favourite.
Mm. Hey, terrific, Jared, as always. How good was that? Comprehensive.
Well, it was okay.
Cruises through it.
Disappointing to learn.
Well, my aim in life, Ray, is it one of these weekends that you have off, and there seem to be a lot. Hopefully I get called in off the bench.
That's a very...
There we go.
Or if Jimmy Smith continues to upset people from Victoria and Queensland, he'll be gone, and I'll be on his side of the bench.
You know what they say, Jared, it's only a matter of time.
You know he does it for fun, don't you, Jared?
You know what, Jared, the John Eel's key to great leadership? Keep the six or seven people that don't like you away from the six or seven people that haven't made up their minds.
Have you ever rapped anybody? I mean, I don't listen to everything that you say, but have you ever rapped anybody from anywhere?
I gave myself a rap this morning.
Surprised.
Oh, for tipping Brisbane to make the eight.
How's that going for you?
Mate, well, they're in from $2.15 last week to $2. And Ray said, oh, people are listening. I said, well, the win on Friday night against the Roosters helped.
Yeah, that might have something to do with it. Okay, we'll go and watch the Preakness.
They're still milling around the barriers.
Are they?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to keep milling? Or
what do you got? What other market have you got?
Oh, I'll tell you what.
Liverpool.
What's
the Champions League?
That's all over. Surely they'll win that.
Oh, go the good guys.
Oh. Yeah. No, we've got NBA today.
Oh, yeah. The Warriors playing today?
Yeah, they are. $2.20 outsiders, and on the back of what we saw the other day, $3.60. These bookies are mad. Punters have cashed up, and they're into them again. They're $2.20 outsiders again. Portland $1.67, and the line there, 2.5 points. And we've got tomorrow's up, and, gee, this is going to require some sort of a turnaround for Toronto to win against Milwaukee from yesterday, but they're $1.70 favourites. Milwaukee at $2.15, and a line there, 2.5 points. It's been a fascinating final series so far.
It's been great. Speaking of great, Jared, great work.
Oh, thanks, Jimmy.
There you go. There's a wrap.
There's a wrap, Jared.
I don't care what they all say, Jimmy. I reckon you're okay.
Well done, Jim.
Yeah.
Talk next week, mate.
See you, boys.
See you later. Jared Daffy there from Tab. And we're still waiting for these horses to be...
I told you to take
them. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Luckily, we didn't cross them. That was about 6 minutes ago. Now, just on this, we're getting a couple of SMS about this today, Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, guys. Can you please ask Jimmy, please ask Ray about the decision to get Hugh Bowman inducted into the Hall of Fame. My question is, if he wasn't the jockey of Winx, does he still get inducted? That's Clay at Newcastle.
It's a strange... I don't know what Clay is trying to say there. Hugh Bowman's numbers over a sustained period over at least a decade now are outstanding. He's quite simply one of the all-time great jockeys, and he's been knocking on the door for Hall of Fame inclusion for 3 or 4 years now. He's up to 92 Group 1 wins overall.
Yes.
So he's one of the highest of all time. He's at the peak of his powers at the moment at 38. He'll continue to ride a lot more Group 1 winners. Look, I know Winks has boosted that tally up, but he's taken that form that he's done on Winks. He's hardly made a mistake on Winks for 4 years. Taken that form overseas and won majors in Hong Kong, in Japan. He's regarded as one of the world's elite jockeys. Should he be in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely.
And the point of it is, he is the jockey of Winks. So, not what if he wasn't, but he is. Mm. So that's the point. 12 under, Brooks Koepka finishes his third round, and there's a host of players on 5 under. So he's got 7 shots clear.
So Dustin Johnson must have bogeyed the last. Did he drop back to 5 under as well?
Yeah, he dropped the shot in his last 5 holes there, Brooks Koepka. He was at 13 under, but now at 12 under. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Great to have the Dream Team back after last week with Jimmy having pot shots at Ray when he wasn't around to defend himself. Now, just on that, EJ, yes, I was. However, I have pot shots at Ray when he is around to defend himself as well. So,
what were you saying last week, Jimmy?
Oh, just how much time you take off and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, just wondered how committed you were to the program. On the toughest player subject, I can't go past Horry Hastings, the best half never to play for Australia. Cheers, EJ. Horry Hastings had a heart attack last week.
Is he okay? How is he?
He is very lucky to be alive. The world's fittest 62-year-old.
Jeez.
Has had a heart attack. So
what a great player. And he was unfortunate to play in an era of unbelievable halfbacks, wasn't he? There were so many great halfbacks who were just beating him for Australian selection. But what a champion player, Kevin Hastings.
And a lovely bloke, as well. Why don't we go to Dougie?
Yeah.
Because
they're still milling around.
They're now
I can another 5 minutes before we even load up.
8 minutes. We should have gone to the news. But anyway, here's Dougie. Yeah, Dougie.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
How are you, Doug?
I wish Penrith to win a bit more games.
Aren't they struggling, Doug? It's hard to watch, isn't it?
The hardest player I know is Steve Neen.
Oh,
Steve
yes.
Neen, Cronulla,
Steve
second rower, yeah. He was tough, wasn't he? In an era, and it was a very, very tough era.
Yeah.
He's a good second rower.
Yeah, he was a hard player like Steve Hargy's another one too.
Steve Hargy, I don't know. Steve Neen was a coach at the Roosters when I was there.
Was he? Okay,
yeah, Jack Gibson got him in. Lovely
That's
fellow.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and just had a toughness about him. They say, good on you, Dougie, thanks for the call. They say when there was a game at between...
They're finally moving in.
I think it was Western Suburbs against Cronulla at Shark Park back in the day. And you'd run out, they'd run out. And then you toss the coin on halfway. And then, depending on what happened, you might have to run past each other because you said, oh, we're going to kick that way. Or, you know, so they did that.